time now for Inside the Huddle on WILO, hosted by Ken Hartman. This program will focus on area schools and all the sports they have to offer. Ken will speak with coaches and players across the region, and your participation is encouraged. Call now at 659-3338 to discuss local or statewide sports. Inside the Huddle is brought to you by Susan Casper, State Farm Insurance in Frankfort. Now here's your host, Ken Hartman.
Good Saturday morning to you, and welcome to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm Insurance agent, Susan Casper. I'm your host, Ken Hartman. On this week's show, we're going to have Illinois High School Association Executive Director Craig Anderson. He's now waiting on the phone for us, followed by Southland Conference Commissioner Tom Burnett at 9:15. At 9:30, we're going to have Summit Conference Commissioner Tom Duple, followed by Western Athletic Commissioner Jeff Hurd at 9:45. That's the lineup for the show today. I need to press a button to make sure it sounds a little bit better. There we are. So let's say good morning to our guest from Illinois, Craig Anderson. Craig, good morning. How you doing?
I'm fine, thanks.
So how's everything going over your way?
Well, since the last time we've talked, we've recently made some quite significant progress. So a week ago Friday, our governor and our Department of Public Health established some parameters for our schools to begin practicing and this week possibly competing in some low-risk sports. And then yesterday, they further announced that there's now an opportunity in certain regions of our state, and all of this is designed by region when they meet certain plateaus and metrics related to COVID, that they'll be able to compete in our high-risk sports within their region. So it's been significant progress. We obviously think for the better, 'cause now students have and will have an opportunity to compete, and so that's some really good news for our students and our school.
How long is it? I should say, first of all, how many sports did you actually get in this year? I know you didn't. I don't think you got anything in all the way to the end, though, did you?
We didn't. No, we only had four sports in the fall, low-risk sports that got to compete a regular season, and we did just a single round in the postseason in cross-country, golf, girls swimming, and girls tennis. So we got a number of sports that we now need to craft a season for and what remains in our calendar for the school term. But our board is going to meet this Wednesday and establish the parameters for that. And we hope that, and still hope and plan for an entire all sports to have a season, even though it might be somewhat limited.
Now, when you say somewhat limited, what are you thinking about?
Yeah, so we're thinking about, reducing the length of the season. And really the emphasis now is just upon providing opportunities for our students to engage in competition. We're not at this time probably looking at concluding with a state championship in many of our sports. You know, the priority is going to be let's let students engage in practice and competition, and whatever the length of the season is, we're going to, you know, really leave it up to the schools. If we have room for some rounds of a postseason, we'll consider that. But our emphasis is really on just kids being able to get back and compete.
Is there any way to go ahead and determine which sports that those might be if you decide to go ahead and have a state tournament?
Yeah, I think likely because our winter is. Our winter sports are back underway practicing as of yesterday. Again, it varies by region, the level at which they can practice. So there's 11 different regions cut out within the state developed by our Department of Public Health, and, you know, each one of those have metrics. So, but I think our board likely has the emphasis on spring sports. If there were going to be state series run and culminate with a tournament at the end of the year, again, don't know at what level, if it's all the way to a state championship, if it's a couple rounds, is likely to be with those spring sports because they lost their entire seasons in the spring of 2020. So that's where I think our board will likely fall when they meet on Wednesday to design and establish a calendar for our schools.
So football and basketball probably just going to play, but no state tournament, I'm guessing then.
Yeah, unfortunately, and that's a hard pill, I know, for many to swallow, but that's the way I see it right now, simply because, you know, we've picked up football and volleyball, and, you know, moved them into what is now going to be a modified spring season, and now we've basketball, which we had hoped to start in November, is now having, you know, probably a competition start date of early February, and only for regions of our state that meet the metric to play. Right now, that's only three different regions of 11 that have met the metric to compete in basketball. So, you know, that metric it may change. Our Department of Public Health is establishing all of those, so it may allow more schools going forward. But yeah, all of those unknowns that still remain, even though there's a way at which we can compete, makes it challenging for us to plan for a tournament when we don't know which regions maybe could culminate and enter and participate in a statewide basketball or football state series.
So for the people in Champaign, they're not going to get their state tournament more than likely this year.
That's correct, yeah. And, you know, in addition to the region limitations, even right now in the phase and level at which basketball and football in our state are high-risk sports, and if they reach that level of competition, whether we're indoors or outdoors, we're limited to 50 spectators for any of those competitions. So throw that on top of, you know, the different regions having, you know, different timelines of when they're going to start and then maybe come out of being able to compete if they, you know, lose a metric, really makes it challenging for us to play in. So you're right. Yeah, I think we'll probably have to wait a year before we actually bring the state basketball tournament back to Champaign.
Knowing Champaign as I do, that probably doesn't set too well with a lot of people over that way.
So. Yeah, well, yeah, it's challenging for all of us. You know, I feel for them, and I feel for our students and who wanted it culminating. But you know, as things have, they were shut down in early November, and now we're already to late January. You know, I think the feeling I get from our schools, at least, and our administrators is, you know, they're thankful for just getting an opportunity to play, and it's hard and it's tough to swallow, but. You know, at this point, we're going to take what we can get if we can get kids engaged.
You brought that up, and that was something I was going to ask you a little later. But, you know, what has been the impact that you are aware of on not only the schools, but the kids and from the mental health side of things that they can't do what they've, you know, essentially want to do?
Yeah, as your listeners can probably understand, that's been extremely challenging. You know, we've seen extremely unfortunate that kids have committed suicide, and that's just been awful, and we know students are suffering. They've been isolated, you know, because we still have a number of schools because of the limitations of being able to gather in school and in person that still don't have in-person learning yet. And so, you know, my heart goes out to those families and you know, all the students that have been suffering. So, you know, that's a part of this that is not lost on me or our staff or our board. And, you know, we feel awful about that. But, you know, we've been following what the state has guided us in, you know, needing to get the numbers and the positive tests down. And as a result, that's been really limiting on us being able to gather students back together again.
How did you guys determine your quadrants or direct, you know, your areas of expertise, you know, the people are going to, schools that went into, how'd you determine that?
Yeah, so the regions were developed by the Department of Public Health. We had no input on that, and it's my understanding that they developed that based upon the number of hospitals and divided regions up according to, you know, where and you know, how many hospital beds are available within that region. So it was, it's more medical than it was even by population. Although, as folks can probably imagine, there's like four regions all up right in the Chicago suburban area, and then the other regions have expanded geography just because of you know, less population, excuse me, in other areas of the state. So that was strictly done by the Department of Public Health. Again, we had no input in it, And so, as I mentioned, it's a little challenging. We have four different possible tiers or phases that regions could fall under, and now each one has a different level of how much they can do by risk level of sport. So we've created a table on our website, and it's obviously developed by the Department of Public Health, and trying to help folks kind of analyze that. But that's been a learning situation for everybody here in Illinois to try to discover, you know, in what level are we, and then what does that mean about what we can do for our schools, for our restaurants, you know, for local businesses. All those have they have different parameters that they're allowed to do within certain levels that their region might fall in.
I know Paul Neidig's a good friend of yours. Have you had a chance to talk to Paul about what they're doing over here?
Yes, I have. And I know they've been successful in keeping kids engaged. And, you know, as I've mentioned in previous times we've talked, you know, Paul's done a very nice job of getting things rolling and having their schools conduct it safely. We've talked a number of times about the support he's gotten, you know, from the governor and their Department of Public Health. And, you know, and so it hasn't been lost on us, and it's really been something we've shared with here in Illinois, trying to emphasize how states around us are doing this successfully. So, I've talked to Paul and leaned on him about, you know, things that they've had to adjust as they've moved forward with sports. And so, I hear and see often the success they're having. So that's great.
You know, I was a little taken back, but it really wasn't surprised. The more I thought about it, that they moved the state finals back a week to let the NCAA tournament have that weekend at the end of March. I don't think I don't know if I'd have done that or not, but I was very surprised that they did it, and I'm kind of happy now that I think about it well.
Yeah, well, we happened to be together at the time that they were having discussions. We had a local Midwest state meeting in early December, and I know I think that was the time that some of that discussion was going on. And you know, the NCAA has you know, stepped up and created a plan, and good for them for being able to, for their men's championships, being able to design a plan, and kudos to Indiana Association there to work closely with them and you know, create a model. And you know, adjustments, at least in, obviously, we've discovered in Illinois during this COVID time, we've had to make tremendous adjustments. And so I would assume that a modest adjustment of a week, and while that's a big deal, and I get it, you know, kudos to the association there for working with the NCAA.
Last thing I want to ask you is, how frustrating has it been for your administration? We sort of already talked about the kids in the schools. How frustrating has it been for you guys not being able to do what you like to do?
Yeah, that's been heavy on me since last March. To, you know, to be the supposed leader of an association designed to design activities and a framework for kids to be able to engage in sport and activity, and to really daily wake up and think, you know, what progress, if any, are we going to see, and, you know, to be sheltered by any advancement of that has been really challenging. And so as we approach where we're at just in the last week, you know, it's been really positive to know that we're planning for and can now plan for seasons and know that kids are going to be back engaged, we hope, for the remainder of this school term. So, our staff has been great, and our board has been incredibly supportive in all of this. And, you know, we're ready. We're rested, I guess, and ready to take this on, because there's going to be a lot of things in a short time here mm-hmm. that will really, really take our focus. But we're ready, and we can't wait to get kids back playing again.
Okay. Craig, anything else you want to add before I let you go?
No, I just appreciate the time to engage again.
I always like having you on. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, to hear, you know, the differences. And I'm sure, I don't know how often, you know, folks in Indiana get to see the map of states that are playing and not playing. And, you know, we've kind of stuck out as a sore thumb in maps recently where, you know, we haven't been engaged in sport while everybody around us, including Indiana, has been going. So we're ready for the color of our map to change and be one of those that have sports for kids, and that'll be a real positive for us here in Illinois.
Okay. Craig, thanks for the time as always. Take good care of yourselves, and we will probably see you before the end of the school year's out, okay?
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks. Take care. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
That was Craig Anderson, the Illinois High School Association Executive Director, has been our guest. We're going to take a break and come back with our next guest. You're listening to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm insurance agent, Susan Casper.
Life insurance is one of those subjects that make people want to change the subject, rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Susan Casper in Frankfort focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on, by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house insurance, or life without having to give up college insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on with your family. Call State Farm agent Susan Casper in Frankfort at 765-659-5678 and put the life back in life insurance.
Your free local online newspaper, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, is your number one source for the latest news in Clinton and surrounding counties. But that's not all we have to offer. Listen to archived audio from the past five programs on the Party Line program every day. Plus, make sure you chime in our weekly poll question at the bottom of the page. ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, your free local online newspaper.
WILO wants to hear from you. Let us know your opinion by sending us an email. We now have a sound-off page at ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. Just go to the community page and click on Sound Off to submit your opinion. We've made it easy for you to sound off on the local issues important to you. You can also submit by emailing your opinion to newsroom@casperradio.com. Let us know what's on your mind. One more way we're keeping you connected. WILO.
WILO and Casper Media are members of the exclusive International Broadcasters Idea Bank. Casper Media and 99 other broadcasters from around the world come together to trade ideas on how to better serve our communities and our listeners. A member of the International Broadcasters Idea Bank since 1991, Casper Media has hosted the Idea Bank convention throughout the years. Casper Media and Idea Bank, constantly working to better serve you. Depend on WILO.
Today we decided to walk to school. At the corner, we waited across the street. The stoplight counted down.
13.
We took a left on Carroll Garden Street.
Garden Street?
Loud music was coming from a car. Danny's a smart kid, but he gets so distracted.
There were so many other sounds, I didn't know what to focus on.
Danny, Earth to Danny. Suddenly he realized he forgot his homework again.
I left my homework on the table.
At the school steps, we hugged goodbye. I really hope he doesn't have another bad day at school today.
When you can see learning and attention issues from their side, you can be on their side. That's why there's understood.org, a free online resource for the parents of the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues. Get personalized recommendations, practical tips, daily access to experts, and more. Go from misunderstanding to understood.org. Brought to you by Understood and the Ad Council.
And welcome back to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm insurance agent, Susan Casper. I'm your host, Ken Hartman. Now I'm going to bring in our next guest, who's the Southland Conference Commissioner, Tom Burnett. But Tom, you've got another new duty, I guess, to tack onto your stuff that you do.
Hey, good morning, Ken. Great to be with you
again. Good morning.
And
great to be with you.
Yeah, I didn't have enough on my plate. So, how about that?
Yeah. What changes for you being the Division I chair from what just being on the committee?
Well, you know, there's a preemptive step here first. I'm the vice chair, and I've kind of likened it to all the committee members are in the car riding down the road, but now as vice chair, I get to ride shotgun and help our committee chair, Mitch Barnhart, the Kentucky athletic director, really with anything he needs, certainly in his place, if necessary, kind of step up and perhaps at times speak for the committee. And all of that, but you know, it's more of a maybe some additional support as you work with you know, just an outstanding committee and an NCA staff that's working really diligently to put together a very unique March Madness experience in Indianapolis and that area that you know, still, you know, has to be pulled off, but, you know, really excited about what they're working on to allow us to have March Madness, which is so very important to all of us.
Were you surprised that Jim Phillips took the Southeastern Conference job and left the committee?
Well, no, not at all. I mean, Jim is an accomplished administrator, really among the best that you'll ever encounter. And it didn't surprise me at all. I think Jim is really focused on student athletes and their experience. And when you look at the things he did at Northwestern to build that program and, you know, not only take care of student athletes, but build facilities, really involved in every high level decision that the Big Ten, you know, was involved with. So, you know, Jim is a great leader in our industry. He's a great friend and colleague to so many of us, and didn't surprise me at all. I think he's going to be an outstanding commissioner.
What is going to basically change this year for everybody, and then the fact that everything's going to be basically in one spot?
Yeah, you know, it can be really difficult to kind of get your brain around everything, but and a lot of it still is being worked on. But it's I would tell you the NCAA staff, their partners in the Indianapolis area, are really moving mountains to make this happen. You know, this tournament's usually played at 14 different sites. You know, we have eight teams going to first and second round sites. We've got a first four event in Dayton. We come together the following week at the regionals, and then of course the final four. Now put all of that, you know, at the same location.
Right.
Imagine all the teams in hotels, the practice needs, feeding, securing the teams, making sure they're safe and healthy, going through the testing protocols. It is going to be, you know, you think about doing that for just one team, you know, multiply that by 68.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a tall task. And, but we've got some great people, and I think the folks in the Indianapolis area have really embraced this opportunity to make history. Hopefully we only have to make this history one time.
Yeah.
And we can go back to the tournament we all understand and love.
Are you going to try to make sure that, say, you know, like Purdue and Indiana and teams here in Indiana are not playing on their home court? Is that going to be a prerequisite for you guys?
Yeah, you can pretty much count on that. I think it's been publicly released. We're going to use the Purdue and IU arenas for some early games.
Mm-hmm.
But if they happen to be in those early games, they would not play on their home court.
Okay, and Butler would be the same way with Hinkle.
Same for Butler, yeah. Same for Butler, yeah.
Okay.
That's right.
Okay. You had an interesting little thing happen to you earlier this week. I don't know, was it, you want to blame that on COVID, or do you want to blame it on schools wanting to go elsewhere?
Yeah, you know, people have kind of forgotten that we really haven't gone through conference realignment in the last 8, 9, 10 years in a large sense. Every now and then you'll see a team move here or there, but yeah, we're going through that, but it's, you know, in our history as a conference now, really over six decades, you know, we've had quite a bit of realignment. And when you look around at conferences that have been in place for as long or longer than we have, you know, they've also gone through realignment. So, you know, it happens, you know, change occurs. It's happened before. It will happen again, I'm sure, in the future. But it's a little bit of a shock to the system. You know, when people see it, they haven't seen it in a while. My guess is you're probably going to see a little bit more of that around the country.
Mm-hmm.
To some degree, maybe not to the degree we had it here, but, and it usually doesn't start with us. It usually, you know, we have to kind of react to something else, but, you know, I think any conference commissioner would tell you, Ken, that, you know, you don't want to lose any members, but
no.
I think every conference commissioner would also tell you that, you know, change can be good. It can allow you some new opportunities. It may allow you to reimagine what your configuration will be in the future. And, you know, we've got a plan in place, and we're really excited about what might be around the corner for us as far as what a new Southland Conference looks like.
How many schools have you got currently in the league? Take away the ones that left earlier this week.
Yeah, we'll have 8 schools in the conference going forward, and I think we will look to build on that. I don't know what that number might be. It could be 10, could be 12. I don't know that it would go any larger than that. But I think preliminarily we're looking at, keeping it at an even number and maybe manageable to where we can play reasonable schedules and certainly do that with some geographic proximity to one another.
Anybody that's out there that you maybe want to say something about that could be coming your way, or you want to just not say it at all?
Yeah, well, it's a little too early for that. We've got a, kind of what we're calling our search committee, and we're working with an outside consultant group that's come in to help, facilitate our process. And I think over the next 3 to 4 months, I think into May and probably by June 1 at the latest, I'm predicting we're going to have a sense of where we're going. It may take us another year to put all that in place, but, we're going to go with our 8, I believe, next year. And, I think in the 22 year, we'll have what the new Southland Conference looks like and have all that in place.
How frustrating has it been, not only for you guys as administrators, but your athletes for not playing as much as you would like?
Yeah, it was a strange fall. I think we would all recognize that. And, at our level of football, for the most part around the country, people decided to delay things to spring. So, we just started volleyball yesterday. We're going to start football in a matter of weeks, February 10th, which will all be different. Plus, we've got all the other spring sports still in place and scheduled to go forward. So what we missed in the fall, we're going to get double and triple doses of in the spring. And so, we're going to get it back. It's going to be different, but, we're really excited about giving student athletes the opportunity to compete. And, when you go back 5 or 6 months, we weren't sure they were going to be able to compete at all.
That's right.
And it's really reassuring, heartening to, know that they're going to have a competitive opportunity with NCAA championship access. And that is, what we're supposed to be all about. And we're really happy we can provide that.
Yeah, and you guys got an added benefit because you got the FCS championship game coming up at your home base there.
Yeah, here in Frisco, Texas. We're going to do that again, and it's scheduled for the middle of May, which will be different as well. And but we look at, forward to and excited to bring in two teams to vie for the national championship.
How many teams are going to be in that tournament this year? Is it going to stay at 32, or is it going to go down to 16?
Well, it's usually 20, but this year it's going to go down to 16.
Okay.
So it's going to be a little different. Years ago, we used to play a 16-team bracket and have expanded it out. Actually, to correct myself, the bracket is usually 24. We made that change a few years ago. So a little bit smaller out of necessity, reduced the calendar a little bit. And then, I think there's a little bit of concern that we don't play too much football in the spring, presuming we're heading into a normal summer and a normal fall schedule. And, obviously concerns have been expressed about playing too much in the spring.
How many games are those conferences going to play? About 6? Is that about the number I've seen off and on?
Yeah, we're going to play 6. I've got a couple of teams that may play 7, but I think the maximum is 8.
Okay.
So you're going to see some leagues play 8 game schedules, probably a lot of them playing only conference games. Mm-hmm. So, again, sensitivity to how many they play. No one obviously wants to play 11 games of like a full season.
Okay. Tom, anything else you want to add before I let you go?
No, we're in great shape. Look forward to maybe the next time we talk. Maybe we'll have March Madness all squared away, and maybe we'll have our Southland Conference future nailed down, but we got a lot going on, but we're excited about it, and always appreciate being on with you and your interest in what we're doing.
Tom, it's always a pleasure to have you on. You guys take care. Best of luck to everything you're doing, and we'll talk to you a little bit later in the season, okay?
Thanks so much, Ken.
All right, take care, Tom. Bye-bye. That was Tom Burnett, who is the commissioner of the Southland Conference. He's also the Division I basketball chair for this year. We're going to take a break right now. You're listening to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm Insurance agent, Susan Casper.